You're listening to Trek FM.
This episode of To the Journey is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform for creating a blog, website, portfolio, or online store. Create your own space today by visiting squarespace.com and use offer code TREK10 to save 10%. Plus, if you'd like to support our programming personally, visit trek.fm/donate to get our alien badges and art prints featuring original illustration by Tobu Ushi.
Hi, this is Robert Duncan McNeil, also known as Tom Paris from Star Trek Voyager. You're listening to Trek FM.
Maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey.
To the journey.
Of To the Journey.
To the Journey!
My name is Charlene Schmidt. I'm one of your lovely co-hosts, and with me as always is
Tristan Riddell and
Lori Sears.
And this week we're gonna do something a little bit different. We love our lists on To the Journey, but most of the time we do a top three selection. This week we're doing something a little variant. We're gonna go for five instead of three. I don't know. I don't think it's the odd-numbered curse at all. I think it's our good luck charm, don't you guys think?
Well, for the reason why we're picking them, because, you know, we're doing a five list of the best five episodes to marathon on your day off.
Yes.
You can't just pick three. That's not a marathon. That's an extended viewing.
Yeah, right. That is a two-parter and a bag of chips. That's nothing.
That's nothing. I mean, this show is for hardcore fans, and hardcore fans don't call it a marathon until there's at least five.
Right. So, yeah, this is five, like, minimum. I mean, if you wanted to go all freaking night, by all means. But this is the starter pack. So we're each going to come up with our five ultimate must-have episodes for what we consider to be the most awesome marathon ever. And I have been dying all week to know what you guys have picked. So, Lori, why don't you kick us off? Let us know what your picks are.
As you guys know, when we started this off, I said my first episode I ever watched of Voyager was Threshold. So that would be where I would start. I would watch it again because
I don't
care how bad it is. I still like it. And I guess I am sentimental deep down. So I would start at the beginning. And then I would go back to Caretaker because that really... I don't know. That's another sentimental favorite for me. I like to see the ship as it's at Deep Space Nine before it leaves and see how we all got our start. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of like Cheese, as we were talking about before the show started.
Yes, so we were talking Cheese.
Yes. So I would watch Bride of Chaotica because that really is my favorite episode. It really is. And then I would wrap it all up with The Killing Game, because I like that period of history, I liked all the costumes, and I really liked the story. So, that is my marathon.
So you'd watch them in that order. Okay, that's interesting. Threshold, I think this is the first time that Threshold has made a marathon list in a positive way, but I love that because, yeah, for you, that would be a nostalgic favorite, right? Yeah.
Definitely.
It totally makes sense to me because I know you, and that's awesome.
Well, I mean, that's the first one I ever saw, and it just makes me think, wow, you are really a determined fan to keep going and watching this show. It's really not that bad to me. I'm just kidding. It really is not that bad to me. I know the science bothers people, but I like the show in itself.
I never found it that bad. Okay, I can understand why people hate it. I really can, but I don't hate it.
No.
And
yeah.
I watch it, I rewatch it, and I just kind of laugh at other people who can't enjoy it.
Yeah.
And yeah.
If you can't enjoy it, then don't watch it. But the rest of us can still have a good time.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I hate it when it comes up in conversations. And instead of just people saying, oh, okay, you like that one, it's always just like, oh, how can you do that to yourself?
It spurns that reaction out of people, right? Just something from deep within, this seething hatred. Oh my God, Threshold! Come on, there's
that
worse.
That episode always makes me wonder because, all right, so in that interview on Girl on Guy podcast.
With Aisha Tyler.
Yeah, with Aisha Tyler and Jeri Ryan, she talked about how when she signed up and actually signed the contract to become 7 of 9, she'd never seen the show before, and all she did was read about like what her part would be, and she's like, oh, okay. And I don't know why she didn't watch it before she signed the contract, but she watched an episode of Star Trek Voyager as she went home that night and was aired, and she cannot for the life of her remember what the episode is, and everybody keeps asking her and trying to figure it out, but she honestly doesn't remember. But apparently it was like the worst episode ever. She literally cried that night because she's like, what on earth did I do? What did I sign up for? And she calls up the producers and says, what are you doing to me? I don't think I can do this. And the producer's like, no, we know that episode's crap, don't worry, that's not the normal.
no, not that one.
Maybe it was Threshold, like maybe she saw a rerun and it was Threshold. That's all I can think about. I don't know.
It could have been, or I'm trying to think of what was really bad in season 3. Maybe it was the Darkling, or
yeah,
I don't know. Maybe I'm not a big fan of Rise myself. I just think it's really boring.
God. Yes.
She might have seen one of those clunkers, but it just...
But see, Rise wouldn't make you cry. You know, it'd just be like, oh, that's mediocre.
No. So I gotta think. It has to be Threshold, right? Because on that first viewing, if you can't just sit back and enjoy it for its entertainment value, yeah, you're probably wondering, what the F?
Yeah. And see, and Star Trek is usually not a show that you can just fly into, especially with the cheese factor in Voyager. Because, like, if you don't know the characters and you don't know the context, you can totally look externally at Voyager and go, oh, my God.
Yes.
What is going on?
Which my husband does all the time. He, you know, there's, like, this thing that happens to Star Trek fans where you're watching the show, right? And then somebody who's not totally acquainted with Star Trek walks in and starts watching the show with you for a few minutes. And they're like, what is this crap? And why are you watching it? And of course, it's the worst part, the most embarrassing moments.
Of course. Sure. It's always the worst part. And like, I can't relax when I watch Star Trek with my wife because like I end up just like watching her the entire time.
What are you thinking over there?
Yeah, like, what are you thinking? Like, don't judge Enterprise by Scott Bakula. I know he can't act, but no, seriously, it's a good show. It's a good show. It's a good show.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, God.
That's exactly it. Oh my gosh, I've done that so many times with my husband as well. Oh, it's just the way it is. It's some weird Murphy's Law with Star Trek. Okay, so Lori, back to your selections. I want
to
know why you chose The Killing Game 1 and 2.
Yeah. That's a good ender, but why did you choose it as an ender?
I just really like that. I don't know what it is. Do you know that you like something and it just draws you back and you don't mind watching it again? I guess because one of the things is the characters are doing something totally different than what they normally do. And
true.
Like I said, I like the costumes. That period of history is interesting to me. Nazis and all that. I mean, I'm glad they didn't bring any of the horrible, horrible parts into it, but that's interesting. I don't know. I kind of like the Hirogen, too, as a villain. And mm-hmm. I just like the way they solved that problem, even though it came back to bite him in the ass later on. I don't know. There's just something about that episode that just, I don't mind watching it again and again and again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is very good. There's a lot to like about The Killing Game, for sure. Not limited to the costumes, which were superb.
Yeah.
And it was fun seeing them out of uniform.
Yeah.
Yes. I was just thinking that the other night. I was watching a TNG episode. I was watching Sarek. I was watching it and Data and all of them were, you know, playing their violins and cellos and all that business. And they were in their uniforms and I was like, why don't we see them in civilian uniforms more often? You know, I just, and this goes for Voyager, too. You barely see them in civilian clothes. I mean, yes, it happens, but not enough.
Yeah.
And I just want to see people in downtime. I just can't imagine that when, you know, a general comes home when he lives on the army base, that he just stays in his full dress, you know, or his full uniform for the rest of the night. You know, I just,
Well, apparently Janeway practically lives in her uniform, because even when she's just reading in her quarter, she's at least got, you know, the purple turtleneck on, and then she's got her jacket just nearby, just in case.
Well, you never
More
know.
More often than not.
You just never know when there's going to be a red alert. You just never
it's
know.
True.
Oh,
no.
Okay,
it's true.
That's another thing. That's another thing that bothers me, is that this is all throughout Star Trek, is that, okay, somebody will be in the holodeck, or it'll be the off chance that they're actually on a date, and they are in civilian clothing, and then it's just like, red alert, red alert. And then they're like, oh my god, I gotta get to my battle stations, but let me put my uniform on first. Because how
yes!
dare I fight the Borg in my tank top and shorts?
I mean, honestly, yeah, who cares? If you're on red alert, you freaking get there. The Borg don't care what you're wearing. They're going to just be trying to assimilate you.
I feel like one of the only few times that we saw that was in Star Trek Generations, the movie.
Right.
Yeah.
When everybody showed up with their full regalia and swords and hats. And I was just like, that's cool. And then, like, you see a junior crewman, like, just grab the sword, like, without even being asked.
Right.
That's badass.
Yes, I think, honestly, that's got to be the one and only time we saw that happen.
Yeah, I think so.
It's the one time I can think of, anyway. All right. Well, Tristan, why don't we move on to your list here? I got to know.
Okay. Okay. All right. With my list, like Lori, I chose an episode. It's a double episode, but it is counted as one episode because it aired that way, and it's registered as 1 by 01, and that's Caretaker.
Aha.
Yes. Now, I feel like, why not start at the beginning? When you're marathoning, get in the mood, and nothing gets you in the Voyager mood like Caretaker. You have great character introductions from everyone. You have a great storyline, a great plot, a great premise, and great special effects. And you get to see Neelix take a bath, and who doesn't like that? And
Tuvok.
Yeah, there you go. Tuvok gets his pet kitty cat. There you go.
And I just think it's a great place to start. And the rest of mine are actually in temporal order. So, and the next, I move on to Deadlock.
Oh yeah.
I feel like that is just like it. That is a strong episode. That is that we get to have double Janeway. We get to see life and death decisions. We get to see people jumping from one universe to another. We get to see Harry Kim die for the first time. And
Wait, really? For sure?
Isn't it?
It was the first time he died?
I think so. Yeah.
Well, he almost died in, what is that episode? It's in season one.
Emanations.
Okay. Yes, he almost died in Emanations. Okay, maybe
doesn't
you're
count.
Right. I was almost counting that.
Yeah, doesn't count. I think Deadlock is where we see Harry Kim perish. He is sucked out into space. And everybody at home is like, oh! Yeah. And, you know, we get to see Voyager blown up. And then, bam, new Voyager.
Yes.
And then I was like, okay, so Caretaker and Deadlock are pretty heavy episodes with heavy decisions made. So let's have a little levity. Let's go to Message in a Bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And how can you not like this episode? This is just such a good episode. It's fun. And even though it has Andy Dick, it is not stereotypical Andy Dick.
No.
And we've talked about this episode a lot on the show. And it's a great Doctor episode. It's a great funny episode. It has more one-liners than I can count. I just think that this is enough to get you through those 5 hours where you're like, okay, this is heavy, heavy. Oh, good and fun.
That's true. I think there's so many one-liners traded between the two Doctors. You've got enough one-liners for the whole season in that one episode right there.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we've gotten Janeway, we've gotten the Doctor, and, you know, why not have the big three with the next one so you have a 7 episode with Relativity.
All right.
Now, there's a lot of 7 episodes out there, obviously, and there's a lot of good 7 episodes, but I feel like this one gets overlooked a lot. Like, yes, you know, we have so many 7 episodes where she's talking about her humanity and her independence and, you know, like how her parents were absolutely horrible because they allowed her to be assimilated by the Borg. And yes, there's a lot of spiritual and human, you know, human growth, but in Relativity, it's a focus on 7. It has some funny moments, but it also a serious plot line where she's trying to save the ship. And it's not about her discovering her humanity. It's about her using her intelligence and her guile to get stuff done. And I love time travel episodes.
Yes, I think you've mentioned that before.
Have I?
Maybe.
Yeah, I do. I have those Star Trek fan collections that came out on DVD.
Yeah.
You know? And I have a Borg one, and I have a Q one, and I have the time travel one. And I think that's the one that I watch the most, like, over and over again, is that collection. I was like, granted, I have all the episodes, but sometimes it's cool just to put in a disc and just let it fly and mm-hmm. have different series and different seasons and things like that.
Yeah.
So to wrap up the night, so we've gotten Janeway, we've gotten Doctor, we've got Seven. Who else do I love? Some Chakotay. And what's a good Chakotay episode? Because you may be asking yourselves, oh no, Tristan, there is no such thing as a good Chakotay episode. And I say nay. And this is Shattered.
Nice.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
I thought, you know, with a 5-episode marathon, we start at the beginning, let's end where we kind of wrap it up a little bit, where we get to see we get to revisit the adventures that we've gone through for the 7 years. We get to go, like, before Caretaker and during Caretaker and, you know, all tons of moments in between, even, like, Macrocosm. And we even get to see a little glimpse into an alternate future where Naomi Wildman and Icheb are grown up and look nothing like they used to.
And Icheb is not dead, much to your chagrin.
Aw, darn.
It's okay. It was an alternate timeline, Tristan. It's all right.
He could have at least been maimed or something. No, and so I thought that it would be cool to end on a Chakotay episode where he's strong and we have some of those fan service moments. He talks to Janeway. He's like, yeah, we get really close. Not as close as some of us want to, you know, like something like that. So we know
right.
that emotion is there where they're kind of, you know, they want to, but they can't. So.
And yeah, Chakotay should have just totally taken advantage of that moment. It was his one chance.
Right? That,
because,
if there was ever a
yeah,
moment, like, history would have been erased.
Right? She's not going to remember.
She's not going to remember, but she totally would have been into it because she's like, who is this hunk of a Native American man?
And never mind that this is, like, Caretaker era Janeway, and she's engaged to Mark, but she's still digging him. And she totally would have gone for it.
Yeah, I think she would have. I think she would have been, you know what? This guy's good looking, and obviously we're going to have a friendship, so why not steal a little kiss, especially when none of us are going to remember.
Hell yeah, and it looks a lot better than a handshake.
Oh, God.
Oh.
So, yeah, that's my list.
That is a heck of a marathon. I like it.
Thank
I like
you.
The variety that you put in there.
I tried to pepper a roller coaster of emotions in there. So
you did. That's a nice ride. You could just make so many marathon lists. You could categorize. You could do so many things. You could do the relationshipper list. You could do the Janeway Chakotay relationshipper marathon at that.
Yeah.
You could do Paris and Torres. You could do other couples. You could do the action marathon, and you could do the character-specific marathons. You could do a B'Elanna marathon or a Neelix marathon.
Yeah, yeah, that's
and
happened.
In the future, maybe we'll discuss these, but for now, we're going for the ultimate list. All right. So I'm kind of boring because I did things in chronological order.
Well, I did too.
Yeah, but I don't think it seems so obvious. But maybe it's just because this is my list. I don't know. I kind of just like to watch the progression of the characters. And so then I kind of fill in the blanks as I go from episode to episode on a marathon. And chronologically speaking, I kind of kick it off with a season 1 episode. But unlike you guys, I'm not going to do Caretaker, although that is a fantastic way to kick off any marathon, which is episode 1. But I'm going to skip ahead to Eye of the Needle because...
Oh.
Although it aired way too...
I could have told you were going to pick that episode.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of obvious. I love this episode. I don't know how many times I have said that over the course of the last year that we've been doing this podcast, but too bad. I'm going to mention it again. Even though it's only 6 episodes in, I have to put it in because it is that first taste of home. It's the first time they get really excited and they are just smashed to the ground. All their hopes and dreams of getting home. With not only the fact that the wormhole is not going to be able to get them to the right time, but the fact that they may not have had their messages delivered. I mean, it's all so heartbreaking because the Romulan died. I mean, it just, it plays with your emotions so hard, and I love it. So I'll kick it off with that. And then I'm going to skip to Scorpion Part 1, which we discussed quite extensively last week. It's kind of my Best of Both Worlds two-parter. This was the longest summer ever. I put it in for nostalgic reasons more than anything. And I don't know. I like Scorpion. It's got a really strong script. It just punch, 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 punch. You go
very
quick.
Strong script, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then for the middle, we're going to do Timeless, because I think that is just a solid episode throughout. I love it. I think it gives Harry and Chakotay great moments to shine. You see this moment of bliss with the Slipstream Drive where they think they're going to get home and Janeway is just so excited. I mean, she's just, we've waited long enough, you know. And it's probably a good thing that they tried, because then she subjected Chakotay to her cooking. So anyway, it's just got so many great moments, and you cannot beat the special effects on this thing. The whole thing where Voyager crashes into the ice planet, and then that shot where they're panning out and you see Voyager under that just huge thing of ice.
Oh, I can't stand that.
In
I'm
its
sorry.
Day,
I can't
in 1998.
Watch it. No, 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 I'm not talking about the CGI being bad. I just can't watch it. It's just too hard to look at. I watched
too emotional?
It one time. Yes! I've never watched it but once, and I was like,
really?
No.
Oh, wow.
Now, I remember when it was on the air, and my dad is just like, what is going on?
That was me. What is going on? No.
Tristan, we need to do an episode just talking about your dad's reactions as he watched the show, because I loved what you said last week, and I love this one here. There had to be so many moments you can recollect.
My dad, like, he was always the, I don't want to say peanut gallery, because that has negative connotations to it, but he would always be the guy who's like, uh-oh, wonder what's going to happen here. You know, like, like, that was him, you know, and so, yeah, so I should totally have an episode where we just talk about, like, our favorite memories watching Star Trek with other people.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. Or could we get your dad to come on for a commentary or something? Because I think it would be fantastic.
I think he would be more confused. He's like, so do I just talk during the show? Or you used to yell at me for doing that, Tristan. You know, like, what do I...
Yeah, now you want me to do the opposite of that? What?
Yeah.
And it would probably turn into the Arnold Schwarzenegger commentary, which was brilliant the last time that happened. So I'm all for it.
It's like, so we have Voyager crashing into the ice.
Right.
You know, it's very sad because, you know, all our friends are dead. I don't know who that was. It started going into, like, Transylvanian Arnold there for a second.
So variations of the impression are totally acceptable. I love it.
I'm sorry.
There you go.
Pump the iron.
Now you're kind of sounding like the Count on Sesame
Street.
That's
what I was thinking about.
Yeah,
Count.
That's what Lori was doing.
That's what
so
I was doing.
I just ran with
fantastic.
It.
Fantastic. Okay.
All right.
Let's get back on track. Timeless. Okay, yeah, for its day, those special effects, the sad ones that Lori can't watch, that were just absolute state-of-the-art works of art in their day. It was absolutely fantastic. Loved them. And yes, there is that emotional response. I mean, this whole episode is an emotional response for me. I really dig it. And so it's a little heavy. I mean, there's a lot going on. I mean, I'm with Harry till the very end where he pounds on the console. He says, yes, and victory. I'm with him. It's awesome. So, okay, after you go through that little bit of emotion there, it's time to let go a little bit and just relax and laugh. So my fourth selection is Tinker Tenor, Dr. Spy.
Aww, yeah.
Because you got to have a good doctor episode in a marathon. You just do. Mm-hmm. So this is, I think, one of the very best selections you could make of that type of category. I'm putting it in. And then to cap things off, we got to have a season 7. Because chronologically, you know, that's just about where you end. But I'm not ending it with Endgame. No, not because it's the end of the road. Mm. No siree. I'm going to do what you did, Tristan, and I'm going to close it off with Shattered. Because I feel like it puts everything full circle. I mean, it's sort of like a cheat in a way. Because you get little bits of everything throughout the series. You've got the macrocosm, germs. You've got Seska, 7 of 9 mm-hmm. as a Borg. You've got all the little pieces in this episode. And so, yeah, why not close it off with that? Plus, the relationshipper in me loves the Janeway Chakotay element. I gotta confess. So, that makes my heart happy, and that's a great way to cap off a marathon. All right, that is our marathon selections. I think we're going to have to revisit this marathon stuff again with a different category. I think we can do some stuff with this. But not only are we talking about marathons on Trek FM, we are talking about all sorts of stuff. And so here is a little sample of things that you might have missed elsewhere on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, The Orb.
Looking for Parmok in all the wrong places.
Well, and you also get the feeling here that she's only... Worf really is only being rejected because she's not interested. It has nothing to do with whether or not Worf is Klingon enough or any of that. She's just not interested. She's interested in Quark.
Earl Grey.
The holodeck.
Alexander Rozhenko was conceived on the holodeck.
That's exactly right. In Worf's calisthenics program, with Skeletor watching, because he was just frozen there and he couldn't look away.
The ready room.
The man trap.
Well, it wasn't what Roddenberry wanted to do with it. It was what the writer George Clayton Johnson wanted to do with it. But it was basically making the character more sympathetic.
To the journey!
The doctor.
But I love that moment when Chakotay was projecting himself into the room. And he totally kneels down and gets super serious and calm like Chakotay does. He's like, what you've shown us is it's not what you're made of, but what you do or how you feel. You know, even in season two, they start to realize the Doctor is not just a hologram. He is becoming something more. Commentary, Trek stars.
Caprica.
Prequels are sort of a constant trap that people end up going to. You know, this thing was successful and it ended. Well, let's go before it ended and tell a different story.
Warp 5.
Klingons on Enterprise.
Having the Klingons at the very beginning of the series running through that field, do you think that was born out of the discomfort that the studio had in the idea of the prequel series to begin with?
Trek News and Views.
The Naked Time.
Gold shirts are easily ripped and disposable.
Yeah.
Blue shirts self-replicate so that they, show no damage. And red shirts whisk away sweat.
Yeah, they're highly absorbent.
There you go.
So that you can't tell that your security guards are nervous.
Literary Treks.
David R. George III, Revelation and Dust.
And it feels like an evolution for Starfleet as well in the way that they built a starbase.
Well, I'm glad that came across because that was sort of one of the things that I was going for. You wanted to be an evolution in Starfleet's construction of starbases. Mm-hmm. It should be something brand new. And because it's an important station, because it's in an important location, it really needed to be, I thought, a grand station.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check all these shows out. Get your daily Trek Talk fix. We've got new shows coming out every single day now on the Trek FM network. Sometimes there's more than one, so we've got plenty to go around. We are covering all of the series now. We're doing it all. You can find them anywhere. iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Windows, Xbox, Zune. Or just go to trek.fm/PD for podcast directory and you can access them there. We are the Jeffrey Combs of podcast. We are everywhere. We can do it all. It's awesome. We're good like that. All right. And before we wrap up, we have to throw in a little message from our sponsor. Take it away.
Please visit Squarespace, the web's best hosting and CMS that makes it simple for you to create a beautiful blog, website, portfolio, online store, or anything else you can think of. Go to squarespace.com for your free 14-day trial and use offer code TREK10 to save 10%. We'd like to thank Squarespace for their support of To the Journey and Trek.fm. Also, if you would like to personally support Trek.fm, please go to trek.fm/donate. There you can get exclusive themed badges and art prints that we use to thank you for your contribution, and their original illustration by Tobu Ushi. Everything you donate to Trek.fm is used to cover the cost of production, storage, and bandwidth needed to bring you this programming every week.
So, next week, we are going to go to a character analysis, and you might be thinking, didn't you guys wrap that up? You've covered all the main characters. Yes, we're going to move on to the semi-regular characters now. We're going to start this off with our favorite captain's assistant and her mom, Naomi and Samantha Wildman. And until next week, this has been To the Journey.
To the Journey!